Wondering if our next guest still feels a little strange not preparing for the start of hockey season. Joining us down the guest hotline, I'm guessing joining us from Red Deer, is former Calgary Flame and longtime National Hockey Leaguer, Curtis Glencross. Good morning, Glennie.
Morning, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing after the big poker event last night?
You know what? I'm doing good. A little short on sleep. We're back at early this morning trying to get everything finalized here at the rodeo grounds.
Yeah, in Red Deer for the 8th annual Glencross Invitational Charity Rough Stock event. And take us back to the beginning and maybe fill us in on why you decided to start this event, which has raised over $1.6 million for some great charities over the years.
You know what, it came up about 10 years ago. Obviously, this is 8 years now, and for 10 years ago, I just was discussing it with a couple of rodeo buddies of mine, and they kind of were asking how anyone ever thought or doing a charity, rough stock charity event, and you know, we've seen how the Flames Poker Tournament is there in Calgary, and kind of doing a little mix of the two. So we just brainstormed, and it took a year and a half before we actually got it going, but it's turned out to be a great event. And we just after year one, when we raised almost $200,000 in our first year, we figured we better keep it rolling.
And generally, if you're doing something that you're really passionate about, you're going to do it well, and you've done a great job with this event because you've got a passion for rodeo and obviously a passion for family and for hockey and for our community. So it's got to be a ton of fun for you. I know it's a lot of work, but it's also got to be a ton of fun to put this thing together year after year.
You're right, Derek. It is a lot of work, but it is. We do enjoy it, and I do have a passion for it. And you know, at the end of the day, when we everything's said and done and the dust settles after the big 2 days in the fall time when we give that check to the charities, it's pretty warming, and it's you see how appreciative them are and how them families in the Ronald McDonald House and them kids in the kids in Hockey Alberta's Every Kid Every Community Foundation, how they need that money and how it's beneficial to both charities. So it's definitely a lot well worth it at the end of the day.
Give us a bit more background on what exactly a rough stock rodeo is and what events that fans who are attending the event in Red Deer this weekend are going to see.
So we have 12 bareback riders, 12 saddlebunk riders, 12 bull riders, and then the top four will come back for a short go around, and then we give away, obviously, our championship. And following the rodeo, then we have Jamie Woodfin, country music star Jamie Woodfin, coming in and playing the beer gardens tonight, right after the rodeo. So it's definitely a fun-filled day. Doors open at 6 o'clock for general admission, and pre-rodeo is kind of going to kick off at 6:30. And hopefully crack the chute gates around 7 o'clock for at the Western Grounds here in Red Deer.
Yeah, the 8th annual Glencross Invitational Charity Rough Stock Rodeo taking place at Westerner Park this weekend. Are there still tickets available, Curtis?
Yeah, you can get tickets at Tickets Alberta, and you can also get them at the door still. I believe there's a few available yet, but the biggest thing is too with these events too is everyone knows if it's on a charity event, it's your sponsors and Calgary Flames have been with me since day one, so 8 years as my title sponsor, along with ATB Financial the last 5 years. So without them, two great charities and big supporters of every community, we would be able to do it.
And the cool thing about this event, not only are the people who attend going to be supporting some great charities, but they're also going to have a chance to see some great rodeo action, including some past CFR champions, right?
Yeah, we got a great lineup. This is the first year we're CPRA sanctioned, so we have some big name American guys coming up as well, along with Canadian champions. We've got guys that have won our event two or three times that are back this year, and we got great stock. St. Calgary Stampede, Outlaw Buckers, Bold Rodeo. We got just a few of them. So we're pretty fortunate to have the support from the rodeo community as well, bringing us the good stock we got.
Well, I think you're doing some great work, Curtis. And this isn't the only charity initiative that you're involved in. Like me, you get her out to a bunch of charity golf tournaments and poker events during the course of the year. So thanks for all that you have done and continue to do for our community here in Alberta. Switching gears a little bit, I kind of touched on it off the top. Just starting to get geared up for another hockey season. And as a guy who spent almost a decade and a half playing professional hockey, What's this time of the year like for you? Have you adjusted to not getting prepared for training camp, or is it still a little bit strange not getting geared up at this time of the year?
You know, it's been a great adjustment for me. I'm enjoying my time away from the game and my family time and doing a lot of other things that I got going. But this time of year, it's at this point in the summer, you're ready. Okay, let's get camp going tomorrow and get the season rolling, because you've been training, you've been working out, you've been skating for months already, and it's just now it's just kind of maintaining and getting ready for camp in September, right? So these last 3 weeks here are usually the grind, and you see guys, well, you start ramping it up, but guys, by this time, guys are ready to go pretty much at this time already, and it's more now just getting in the flow of things and, you know, getting a better feel for the puck and that kind of thing. So by the last couple weeks leading up, once September hits, the boys are chomping at the bit, and they just want to get camp rolling.
Former Duck, Blue Jacket, Oiler, Flame, and Capital. Did I miss any there?
I don't know. I thought a Bobcat was going to hit me here, so I was just...
Yeah, get out of the way of the Bobcat for sure. I think I got them all there. Curtis Glencross joining us live from Red Deer and from the 8th Annual Glencross Invitational Charity Roughstock Rodeo. Great event coming up this weekend in support of some fantastic causes, the Ronald McDonald House of Central Alberta and the Every Kid, Every Community program through the Hockey Alberta Foundation. Big thanks to the presenting sponsors, ATB Financial and the Calgary Flames Foundation. Over the years, this event has raised over $1.6 million, and I know you're going to add a bunch to that total this year. Sticking with hockey, though, again, you're a guy who's spent a lot of time playing the game and being around the game, and you know what it takes to win, and you know how hard it is to lose. So when you look back at the Calgary Flames 2018-2019 season, some good times, a lot of them, and some bad times, specifically in the playoffs. But what kind of jumps out to you about last season for the Flames?
You know what? They were so good all regular season, and it seemed like they're just rolling, right? You know, obviously, playoff comes around. It's a completely different atmosphere and a different game. And you know, it's unfortunate. I figured that they would, you know, roll for the first couple of rounds there, and then it was going to get to a grind a little bit later on. But you know, I was definitely shocked myself for the Flames exit on the first round. And that just tells you, like, once the playoff comes, and it's like I said, it's a whole different game. And it's, you know, you hit a hot goaltender, you hit someone gets on fire, and just can't do nothing wrong, and everything's going in for him, and that's the way series go. And you know, it's like I said, it's, I think the Flames, you know, they got a little burr on their shoulder, obviously, after last year's early exit, and you know, they're going to be hungry to come in this year and get right back where they were.
When I think about the Capitals, prior to them winning the Stanley Cup a couple of seasons ago, they had teams that were really successful during the regular season, won a couple of President's Trophies, but it's almost like they had to lose before they could win. Do you think the Flames maybe learned some important lessons in that series loss versus the Avalanche, and that losing last season might help them win and maybe get 2, 3, 4 rounds into the playoffs this season?
Absolutely. Any playoff experience you can have, it gains going forward into the playoffs. And, you know, Flames, they didn't have a lot of guys that had a lot of playoff games. And you know, for the young guys too, just getting that maturity level and knowing the ropes of the playoffs, it's like I said, it's a whole different season. And every time you're in the playoffs, it's more of a learning curve, and you figure more and more out, and you make your adjustments.
There was a lot of talk during last season's Stanley Cup playoffs about the officiating, and a lot of controversy, and I think about that Game 7 between the Golden Knights and the Sharks, and it seemed to kind of snowball from there. But I also think it's safe to say that there's probably a bigger gap between the way games are called regular season versus postseason now than there ever was before, because it feels like during the regular season, the league's really trying to put small players like Johnny Gaudreau and Mitch Marner in a position to succeed. But then when the playoffs roll around, it's like you go back to the 1970s or the 1980s, and you can get away with just about everything. Do you think that that's the right way to go about it, or should they be maybe calling the game a little bit differently, either during the regular season or during the playoffs?
I think they got to call it the same way, whether it's, you know, tighten it up or just letting them play a little more. Once it's like I said, it's a completely different game. And you see Johnny and them guys in the regular season, it's, you don't have the chippy stuff. You don't have as much hitting and grinding and that kind of stuff and cross checks and getting away with that. But, you know, once you get in, like you said, in the playoffs, it's a it's a battle. It's a war zone out there, and they get away with a lot more. And I think that's one thing that they definitely have to talk about is having that consistency between the officiating, and just to make sure that it is even level all the way through. And, you know, everyone's emotions and everything ramps up. And, you know, when it comes to the playoffs, the officials, they don't want to be the guy either that's letting too much go or they should have called something and be a difference maker in a hockey game. And, you know, I think that's where they tend to let a little more go because, you know, it goes either way. But, you know, as soon as something's a clutch or grab, anything in the regular season, it's called right away. But as soon as it gets to the playoff time, they definitely crack down or let it go a little more. And that's, you know, it changes everything about the game, too. It's more old school.
As you know, Brad Treleving, because you played for him, is one of the hardest working general managers in the National Hockey League. And when you travel back in time to last offseason, it was far from quiet for the Flames, who made a huge trade at the NHL draft with the Hurricanes and made a pretty big splash in free agency as well. But this offseason's been fairly quiet for the team, and there are still a couple of RFAs that they've got to get signed. But do you think that's maybe a good thing that the Flames haven't been as active this offseason? And what do you think that says about the team?
You know, I think Brad's confident in his team. And you know, obviously only a couple different changes this year. But, you know, I think you look at see what he got again like he had last year. And if it's, you know, sometimes offseason, it's, you know, free agency, that kind of stuff, and things don't work out, it's almost better to get guys mid-season or you know, coming down the wire or even a couple months into the season so that them guys can definitely have a chance to see where them guys are at rather than just signing a free agent out of wherever and seeing what they come out like. They definitely can see what they've been doing that year, and hopefully they can continue that when they do come to you. So I don't know, it was good to see actually Brad Treleving and Bill Peters both came out to my charity event, the poker event, last night, and I had a good chance to chat with both of them last night. And, you know, that just proves that, you know, these charity events all around too, that, you know, Brad Treleving and all the guys, they love supporting local charities too, and it's good on them to come out and support me.
Absolutely, and I know the Flames, whether it be the guys who are still lacing them up today or guys like you who are members of the Flames alumni, doing an absolute ton inside of the community, which is certainly great to see, and it seems to ramp up year after year. So thanks for all that you do for our community. Circling back to what happened in last year's Stanley Cup playoffs, I think it's safe to say the Flames probably learned some difficult lessons. And other than learning from their experience versus the Avalanche, what do you think it's going to take for this team to take the next step this season, Curtis?
You know what, Derek? If we all had that answer, it'd be an easy game.
Yeah.
General manager job, that's a tough position, right? And, you know, you talk to so many people around and everyone's got their own opinions kind of thing, right? But it's, you know, ultimately it comes down to the guys inside that locker room and how they, you know, even just chemistry and how they bond together, because, you know, nice tight knit group of guys and a good team that, you know, are willing to do anything for each other. Them are the teams that get through at the end of the day. So, like I said, it's hard to point a finger at, you know, in my opinion, what they're doing, because, you know, that's not my place to really talk about it. But it's, you know, there's so many, like I said, you get scouters, you know, anytime you're in Canada and you're in a hockey atmosphere and that market, there's always critics and there's, you know, everyone's got their opinion. So it's, you know, we got to trust with what our management and staff are doing and see how they roll with it.
Curtis, you've played on both sides of the Battle of Alberta, which certainly has a lot of intrigue going into the 2019-2020 season. Five former Flames are on the Oilers roster right now, and some big names, kind of a swap of sorts in goal with Cam Talbot coming to Calgary and Mike Smith going to Edmonton. And then at forward, the big trade between the Oilers and the Flames during the course of the offseason, Milan Lucic now in Calgary and James Neal up at Edmonton. When you heard about that trade, what did you think?
You know, when I heard that trade, I thought it's a good start for both of them to prove themselves and get out of everything that's been said about him and out of the pressure and all that kind of stuff. So, you know what, I think it's going to turn out to be good for both sides, hopefully. And you know, that's all you want when you do a bigger trade like that with a couple of big name guys. You want them to succeed too. It's going to be tough. And I said that's going to be the media's topic all this year, is comparison between the Oilers and the Flames and the trades they did. So it's going to be interesting to see how much stuff you guys got to talk about over the year.
Yeah. Having played against Milan Lucic. I think you'd agree that he's one of the toughest and one of the most feared players in the NHL. But the game is different than it used to be, and you don't see as many fights anymore. But intimidation, I think, is still part of the game. I don't know if you'd agree. And if you do agree, what kind of presence do you think a guy like Milan Lucic still has? And what kind of impact do you think he can have on this Flames team?
You know, Lucic always has a presence, and he's known for that. And he knows this. The other team always knows that something happens out there that they're going to have to deal with him. And, you know, he can still play the game, too. It's not like he's a liability on the ice. And I believe that, I believe that he's going to come into Calgary and have a big summer this summer and come into Calgary and be, I think he might turn some eyes. And, you know, a lot of critics that have, kind of questioned the trade and that kind of stuff. I think they're, in my opinion, I think it's going to turn out better than a lot of people expect.
Well, he's a big guy, but apparently right now he's at about 6% body fat.
Yeah, and he's a great room guy. He's a great teammate, and I've heard nothing bad about the guy, so it goes a lot for him.
But when you've got a guy like that on your team, do you feel a little bit bigger on the ice?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's anytime I know back in the day when you had big grats on the ice with you too, you felt like you were felt like I was 6'6" and 242, right? So it's definitely has an impact on everyone on your lineup.
One last hockey question for you, and I'm asking because I know you're good friends with him, and there's a lot of mutual respect between the two of you. Of course, former teammates. Mark Giordano, who we all thought was the best defenseman in the National Hockey League, but some of us did wonder if that would lead to a Norris Trophy because of where he plays being in the West as opposed to all those votes out in the East. But, he does win the Norris Trophy last season. As a guy who played with him and as a guy who's friends with him, that had to really feel good for you.
Oh, it did. I was so happy for him. Just even the successful throughout the year last year, he was, you play with a lot of guys, and G and I were tight. We went on the road pretty much every meal on the road, and before a game we were together having dinner. And his family's awesome, and my wife and his wife are still great friends. Just a guy that works that hard, and his story coming up and undrafted and getting to where he got and being the player he is. It's there's a reason why he's there too. He works. These young guys in the locker room have a good guy to look up on and watch, because whatever he's doing in the dressing room and behind the scenes too, it's something that they'll learn from, and they'll never forget the experiences that he's taught all them too eventually.
Well, Curtis, you did some great things on the ice during your NHL career, and now that that's over, you're doing some fantastic things in our community. Thanks for putting this Glenn Cross Invitational Charity Roughstock event together. It's coming up this weekend in Red Deer. Tickets very reasonably priced, $30 for adults, $15 for youth, 6-17. Children under 5 get in for free, and all proceeds go in to support the great work being done for the Ronald McDonald House of Central Alberta and the Every Kid, Every Community program. Have a good time this weekend, Glenny, and I'm sure I'll see you in the golf course sometime soon.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, Curtis Glencross.